trusted God all the way.
Come on, Michael.
There are tears on my pillow that won't dry on their own. Beyond my ears, I've no sorrow, but today I don't walk alone.
Yeah!
'Cause I'm on the road.
On the road.
To recovery, step by step.
Have ourselves a meeting, guys. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale. Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group's Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. I am Danny. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I'm pretty sure that's a run-on sentence. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that might/will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? Yeah? All right. Let's start the meditation. Do you guys help me join me in the fog light prayer? If you don't know it, there should be little pieces of paper in the front pews in front of you. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light. For those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. Amen. Awesome. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I have asked Scott to read Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Here's Scott.
My name's Scott, and I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing fellowship of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he or she is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
Awesome. So tonight we have Marion speaking, and I do not know her, but I had the privilege of hearing her speak a couple of weeks ago, and she got vulnerable. And that's something I hold in high regard with speakers, because when somebody gets vulnerable in front of a large group of people, it instills vulnerability in other people. And I think that is one of the greatest characteristics of a person, is being able to be vulnerable in other people. And it's something that I struggle with, so I always look for it in speakers. Marion is going to come up and talk to us for a little bit.
Thank you so much. My name is Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. It's great to be here and great to be sober and great to be in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Great to be anywhere sober today. Woo! Great to have some friends that I walk shoulder to shoulder in this journey with. Kreen and Polly visiting from Queens, right? Scott from Philly. You know, all these just walks of life we come from and people who would not normally mix. I love that about Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I never mixed anywhere. I always felt like I was the odd man out all by myself. And if you're new in this room, I welcome you. And I hope you feel that you find family, you find home, find hope, and you find understanding like I've found in these rooms. And I just, I pinch myself every day to know that I get to walk this journey, have a relationship with God, be able to be clean on the inside and be able to look myself in the eye. And that's a long place from where I came from. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. I have a sponsor. Her name is Polly, and she's a member in good standings of Alcoholics Anonymous and a gracious, beautiful woman of God who sponsors tons of women. And I get to sponsor a lot of women. I get to work in the treatment center business, and I get to be, you know, Peter and I just went, we were gone last week. We were up in New York, and he hadn't visited his brothers in a couple years, and with my family being on the West Coast in Bellingham, Washington, and his family being in New York and L.A., it's like we trade off Christmases, and so it was New York's turn, and we got to the hotel room, and we were there very shortly, and if you know Peter M., he doesn't take a lot of vacations, and we were only there a couple hours, and we got a call, and we had an AA, and we had an AA in trouble, in a lot of trouble. And it was heartbreaking. And what's amazing about us and how we can rally together and how we can, you know, if Peter wasn't on the phone with this person, I was on the phone with this person, and he's calling so-and-so, and I'm calling so-and-so, and we've got text messages coming in and phone calls coming in to rally behind that. And just knowing that, you know, when it was all kind of said and done and been taken care of, you know, this isn't an 8-to-5 thing, or, you know, this work that we do. And I know we're not talking about step 12 tonight, but it's always about step 12. You know, they told me, you know, when I first came to the rooms, you know, I'm so such a firm believer. If you are brand new in this room, please let somebody know. Please reach out your hand. Please let somebody get to know you. Please do that. You know, because I was thinking about this today, too. Because it's going to sound weird, but what don't I say that's weird? I feel like I've become the woman that used to scare me to death. You know, I can talk all day long about being a woman of grace and dignity, and, you know, Peter talks about head up, shoulders square, and be an example to women of Alcoholics Anonymous, and be the same person I am. You know, I say this to people all the time, follow me around. You know, I'm as sober as I am at home. I'm as sober as I am behind closed doors. That's how sober I am. That's how sober we are. You know, we can put on our game face in AA, and we can walk out in the parking lot and start gossiping about somebody. Or we can, you know, not have time for a 12-step call. Well, I'm sorry, I've got, you know, coffee at Starbucks happening with, you know, my uncle, or, you know, whatever. But am I really living this? Am I really breathing it? Am I really, really being that example? And that really just came to my heart today. It was like, I've become those women I was scared of. I've become, and I'm not anywhere close to perfect. Peter, you know, he will always hum the theme song to I Love Lucy, da 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 da. You know, he does it to me all the time because that's kind of my life. You know, I stumble around and I'm far from perfect. But one thing I do know is that I've got to, by God's grace. You know, God got me sober, and I say this all the time. If you're sitting in this room and you haven't had a drink today and you haven't put a substance in your body, God is doing for you what you could not do for yourself. It's Thursday night. You're in Fort Lauderdale. It's 80 degrees outside. There is bars from here to Kingdom Come around here. Something's keeping you here. And I don't know one of us, if you have the disease that I have, if you have the cravings that I have, if you have the obsession I have, why would I want to be here? You know, why would I want to be here? And it scares me to think of that. I wouldn't have made it to South Florida, you know, in my drinking days. Oh my gosh. And I didn't. So anyway, whatever that was about. So I'm grateful. I'm honored to be here to close off the speaker series meeting here in this fine place of worship. And I believe that it's a place of worship. It's a place to know God. I know that Michael and his crew have brought wonderful meetings here on Monday nights that have brought people and help place their hand in the hand of God. And I know on Thursday nights doing the same thing, there's a heart of service. There's a welcome feeling. There's a power of attraction rather than promotion. You know, it's all here and it's working. So if you're looking for a home group, if you're looking for a place to belong, please do connect with somebody here. And so I'm going to talk about 10 and 11 tonight, I think, if that's what God stirs in my heart, to continue to take personal inventory. And when we are wrong, promptly admitting it, is a practice I use in my life daily, all day long. The word I like in this in step 10, and I'm just going to tell you from my personal opinion and from my personal experience, you know, it gives us some work to do in our big book, you know, retiring at night. Where was I resentful? Where was I selfish? It gives us those mechanics, and it gives us what we do on awakening, and we can talk about that stuff too. But if you're an alcoholic like me, you make messes all day long. You know, I make messes all day long. And, you know, Peter had an experience with me this afternoon where I had something that was bothering me, and I burst into tears, and I had to talk about it, you know, right away. And I can tell you, as a process of these steps and as a way of working through these steps, what it's all about, guys, what it's all about is my relationship with God. What it's all about is about getting me to a place to be of maximum service to God and to my fellows. You know, I can look at myself. I've been sober 27 years. You know, God didn't get me sober so that I can be rich and famous. And you know, I can tell you that I've many of my dreams have come true. I live a life beyond my wildest imagination. For a little dirty little girl from Bellingham, Washington, to sit here tonight in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with a host of friends from across the nation, to have a heart full of love for you and feel okay with me when I look in the mirror, is nothing short of a miracle. I have a life beyond my imagination. And I can guarantee you that if you take these steps, if you work these steps, if you reach out to someone and you get the help that you need, that you can have a life beyond your wildest imagination. But what has happened for me is in that step of continuing to take my personal inventory, you guys, I came here, and I say this all the time, I hated me. I was bad. I was wrong. I wore shame as if it was this heavy woolen jacket that I couldn't take off. That if you were really, really to see me, you know I was that girl. You know, there's the Weston girl. She lives on Lincoln Street. They're the mom with the drunk. She's the one who I have to wash her face when she comes to school. That's, you know, and still at 57 years old, I can go back to that little girl like that. You know, and sometimes I need to be reminded. Sometimes I need to be reminded that I'm safe. Sometimes I need to, you know, and Peter will do that with me. And, you know, that's actually a really cool thing about our sobriety is that they say, you know, we're kind of a little bit emotionally immature. But I'm okay with that because I don't really want to be 57. I'd rather be 18 in the spirit. And sometimes my body just doesn't quite keep up with that. But I'm okay with that too, you know. I like having the wisdom of my elders. I like having the wisdom of being a grandmother. I love the wisdom of being a mother. I love having the wisdom of 27 years of sobriety. I love having the wisdom of my teachers. I love having all that wisdom. But I also don't want to ever, ever, ever lose my childlike faith of what it is to be reborn and resurrected, like Peter talks about, in the rooms of the sacred place called Alcoholics Anonymous. That he, my Savior, my God, our God, would save a wretch like me. I didn't get behind this, Mike. I didn't get what I got because I deserved it. Because if I got what I deserve, guys, yikes. Like any of us, right? So the point being, and how this points to step 10, guys, is this. We have to. The word continue, which is a very long way as how I was trying to get to that word. But the word is continue. Continue. We don't just work through these steps and get to a place where God just wipes a magic wand over our head. And we're, hi, I'm Mary and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Yes, I've recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. But I can honestly tell you, I'm an alcoholic. Silly old timer thing from years ago. It's not alcoholism, it's alcoholism. And I can tell you 2 weeks ago, I stood here and Mike had given me a task. He said, Marion, when you get up and do your talk tonight, I want you to just do a review through the steps. And it's like, that's simple. That's great. I can do that. That's cool. God will do it with me. We've got this thing. And you know, there's been a couple times in this step series where 2 weeks ago, my head was screaming so loud at me, guys. You know that voice that says, you're not worth it? That voice that says, you don't know what you're talking about? The voice that says, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're, you know, like, those voices. And the only thing that I have found that can quiet those voices is my relationship with God. So How do I maintain that? How do I stay in that place in my relationship with God? Well, that's where this inventory comes in, guys. Because I'm going to tell you what, in my life, you know, I talked to you weeks ago about having this resentment towards my sister, and I was laying in bed and I was just ticked off and I was planning on sending her the middle finger on Facebook and, you know, all this stuff I was trying to do, you know, and wait a minute, I'm a recovered alcoholic. Why should those thoughts be going through my mind? I'm going to tell you what, if I am working at my conscious contact with God, you know, I am far from perfect at this stuff. It's kind of like it'll bubble up to the surface. It'll bubble up to the surface. If I'm seeking God and I'm seeking God and I'm seeking God, I'm driving down to that meeting like I told you, and all of a sudden, boom, where was I at fault? And I didn't know, because see, what I have is I have a disease that's cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it's too much for me. Because that's, you guys, we can talk about, oh, it's resentment, oh, it's fear, oh, it's dishonesty, oh, it's resentment, it's all these things. It's a drink. It's a drink. It's a disguised drink that wants to still take us out. You know, oh, I don't say I'm a recovered alcoholic. I just have a living problem today. No, guess what? You know, I have a subtle foe. It's called alcoholism, and it's there, like it says in the book, a boy whistling in the dark, waiting for me to rest on my laurels. Well, I became a Catholic this year, so, I mean, I must be able to rest on that laurel for a while, right? You know, I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a worship leader. I sponsor a lot of women. I'm sponsored. I go through the steps, and you know, I can just sit back in a lawn chair and take it easy for a while, right? No. What I have is a daily reprieve, contingent on daily reprieve, meaning that what stay of execution? Yikes. I quote Peter a lot. I live with him. I get to steal it. No. Borrow it, honey. Borrow it. And so that's what I have. And so the point about step 10 and the importance of step 10 is this. You know, Michael Jackson said it. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. That's where the gift of desperation came to me. Guys, you know, I had this brother living under the bridge, and he was doing some stuff. And he told me one day, he went in and out of treatment centers, and he was the scapegoat, and he was the all that crap in my family. And he told me one day, one of these days, you're going to take a good, long, hard look in the mirror. And that day on November 11th, I went down to my pink bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I saw something I never saw before. And God gave me the first aspect of him that day, the gift of desperation. I was given that, a mercy gift from God. Okay? So how that goes back to the mirror and how continued to take personal inventory goes back. I have to be able to look myself in the eye. I have to. You know, I've worked hard in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've screwed up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've got not enough meetings in at times. I've not called my sponsor when I put on the game face for the sponsor. You know, like, hey, Polly, how's it going? Oh, I'm fine. Everything's great. Butterflies are flying out of my ears. I'm good. You know, and instead of, no, my butt is really like in the back seat of the car and I'm barely hanging on right now. You know, this program that demands. I've never had a demand until Alcoholics Anonymous. I demand you. Demands rigorous honesty with me, with God. Because when I'm honest with me, when I'm free from fear, when I'm free from dishonesty, when I'm free from guilt, and when I'm free from remorse, and I'm free for those things, you guys, all the tools are here. They're all here. They're all lined up for us. I was listening to Joe and Charlie the other day. We're talking about the worst thing they did was taking them and putting them up on the wall because they took them out of the book. So take it back into the book because that's where you're going to find the answer. It's there for us to see it too. It's just an example and it's good. But I can't remember how they said it. I hope I didn't butcher that too much. But anyway, so it's continuing to take personal inventory, continuing to be able to. And when that kind of stuff first started popping up for me, you know, as I'm living this life of rigorous honesty, I go through a McDonald's drive-through line and they gave me $20 too much. And I was broke, man. And I was like, yeah, buddy, I got $20 extra, you know, and just this thing. This thing in my gut, because of conscious contact, this because of this thing of righting my wrong and to be able to go back and put it back. I know that's such a simple thing, throwing a cigarette butt on the ground, but going back and picking it up and sticking it in the garbage. You know, if I'm a lot of this stuff, it says, we have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. We like to call them our immediatelys, right? People that I can call. Something's got me. Something's hooked me. Something's, you know, troubling me right now, and I've got to get this off of me. We discuss someone with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone who can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. These are the 10-step promises. 10-step promises. If you're new and you've heard the promises a lot, there's 10-step promises. 2. On the bottom of page 84, and we cease fighting anything or anyone. I always fought through life. Just do it my way. I'd be ticked off at somebody, and I just wanted them to do what I wanted them to do. It's not my stuff. For by that time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely, and normally. Normally? Alcoholics, normally? Crazy. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. Who doesn't want that stuff in your life? You know, it's pretty, you know, it's a yucky feeling. I know this program's a day at a time, and we do it a day at a time. And I don't get up every day for 27 years going, oh, how am I going to fight alcohol today? Cease fighting. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Wow. We've not even sworn off. Oh my God, how many times did you guys swear off? Oh my God, with or without a solemn oath, the whole deal, right? Instead, the problem has been removed. It doesn't exist for us. We're neither cocky, nor are we afraid. That's our experience. This is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Keep. It's easy to rest up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do. And, you know, we often talk about you can go forward through the steps and you can go backward through the steps, resting on our laurels. For alcohol is a subtle flow. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. You know, I was talking about how, you know, Peter says this a lot, you know, I don't have a life. I mean, we could tell story after story of the tragedies and the things that God brought us, that we came through to get to these rooms. And I can tell you, there was a God, you know, the old timers used to say, God loves drunks because they're fun to watch, you know? And I think, I know that he watched me while I was out there. There was circumstance over circumstance that I shouldn't have lived through. So why should I doubt him today? And why should I even have any claims on my life today? Maybe there's somebody that you need to talk to. Maybe there's somebody that you have a message for that I can't. You know, that none of us can. That maybe you can reach that I can't reach. So we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it, to right our wrongs. And as I continue, I just want to tell you, you know, yeah, you can do... This is a retire at night. Some of you know this. Probably a lot of you know this. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe an apology? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Well, maybe I was a little selfish today, you know. Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? Well, we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, because that's what we can do too, guys. We can drift into that place of, God, what a schmuck I was today. But I can't carry what kind of a schmuck I was today into tomorrow. And the main reason for that is because then it's going to not make me effective for God and for others. On awakening, we consider the 24 hours ahead. That's on 86 and that's on 87. I'm going to move into step 11. So we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I always think it's really interesting, and my sponsor always talks about this, praying only for knowledge of His will for us instead of, God, give me a new car. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me that. I think that Bill knew that we were alcoholics and that we'd be asking for things for ourselves. Quite possibly, right? And I can tell you that I've had many powerful experiences with this step. God likes to speak to me through usually feathers or rocks or people walking by me who say the right thing at the right time. And I love it. It's one of my, to know that I'm known by Him, to know that I'm known by my Creator. And I can tell you that there isn't a person in here that's beyond that contact with God, that God doesn't make too hard of terms for those who seek Him. God does not make too hard of terms for those who seek Him. I think I'm supposed to stop there tonight. And I want to continue that on with next week with the beginnings of step 11 and into step 12, because that's what it feels like. I love you guys.
Awesome. Can we thank our speaker one more time? And we have Fred for our secretary's report.
Hi, my name is Fred, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I've asked Corey to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be recovered alcoholic.
Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in the body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship from the fourth to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sobered at once and remained that way, 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to His loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I have a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone in need of a sponsor tonight? Please raise your hand. Please join us Monday nights. We have a Big Book study meeting, Big Book meeting in the other room over here where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30 and the meeting itself starts at 7:15. I have a quick announcement. We have coffee mugs over here for $5 each if anyone would like to purchase one. We also have large print Big Book and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 8:15, and we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Thank you guys, and I'll see you next week.
It says $5 each, 2 for $10. All right, we have tonight's session and all past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night Big Book study, which is here at 7:15. Hold on 1 second. Next week is actually going to be the last week that we are going to have the Thursday night and the Monday night here. So from now on, starting on January 9th, it is going to be at the First Presbyterian Church, which is the Newman Center building, at 401 Southeast 15th Ave, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33301. Cool. All right. Those of you who would wish to thank our speaker tonight, we can line up down the aisle after I am done doing this whole song and dance. And let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, all right, see you guys Monday or Thursday, and have a good night. Can't get it.
zap, zap, zap. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling.
Yeah, that's $6.
Smiles with Cupid in the night. Yes, when you're laughing. When you're laughing. Yes, the sun comes shining through. Crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on. And I hope
Long live
Sarah Day.
seem like yesterday is gone and day. Don't you